The views expressed in this podcast are meant solely for inspiration and entertainment purposes. Nothing stated in this podcast should be considered financial, economic, accounting, or tax advice. Dividends are never guaranteed. This recording does not address all risks. No comments made in this recording should be considered an endorsement for any investment or investment strategy. This recording should not be considered as an offer or solicitation to buy, sell, or subscribe to any financial instruments, products, securities, or derivative instruments. All data used is believed to be valid and accurate at the date it was first recorded on an as-is basis and is subject to change without notice. Listeners should seek their own financial, tax, legal, and regulatory advice regarding the appropriateness or otherwise of investments or any investment strategies. Any decision a party makes after listening to this recording should be based on its own research and will not be considered influenced by the views expressed in this podcast. You will solely bear the responsibility for any investments you make and for the liability of any losses arising from the information provided. And welcome back to the Bank on Dividends podcast. My name is Banky, and as always, I will be your guide into the wonderful world of dividend investing. Now, this week, I had to take it back to basics a little bit. I know the last few weeks we've been really, really blessed with some great guests. We started off with Trade M, then we had Dividend Club on, then we had Dividend Power on. And this week, guess what? We're continuing the trend and we've got Investing in Dividends. I call him Oliver, but we're going to call him Investing in Dividends right now on the podcast. But before I introduce him, I want to tell you why he's the perfect guy to talk us through how to analyze dividend stocks. Now, when you've been invested in dividends for a little while, it's easy to say, oh, I own this stock for this reason when I did my stock analysis, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Oliver's a bit like me, started around the same time as me, and he's around the same place as me in life generally, around the same age as well. So I love seeing investors like him and myself who are basically starting again, who are doing things from the basics, and we don't have 52 years experience in this, but we're working it out as we go along. And that's why this is the best person to tell us how he analyzes dividend stocks. But remember, none of this is financial information. And remember, no matter what happens in the markets, you can always bank on dividends. So without any further ado, let me introduce Oliver to the Bank on Dividends podcast.
Hi, you okay?
Yeah, thank you for being on the podcast.
No, that's fine. Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to this. It'll be good to run through a few stock analysis tips.
Okay, great. Right, before we crack on with the questions, because I've got a lot of questions for you, I'm going to grill you,
yes, you
even harder, even harder than the guys before. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I mean, you've pretty much summed it up. It depends on how closely everyone's listening to your story and your journey. But essentially, I'm starting my whole dividend portfolio again from scratch because I've learned some pretty hard lessons over the course of the last year to 18 months. Everything from losing my job to clearing out my emergency fund and needing the investment portfolio that I had in order just to continue surviving, basically.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that. And before we go into the real me questions, I want to ask you, and this might just sound like a stupid question, but how did you come up with the name Investing in Dividends? Because when I saw it and I first found you on Instagram and we got chatting, I was like, how come I didn't come up with that name?
It's because I stole it first, that's why.
Okay.
I chose it because I invest in dividends. That's why. I was looking at all sorts of different investing strategies or just different kind of investment vehicles, like, you know, property or crypto or anything like that, and dividends just spoke to me. They came for me, they grabbed me, they enticed me, and now I'm here.
I love it. You heard the call of dividends in the night.
And I came, the siren call of dividends, I couldn't resist. So
wonderful. Okay, thank you, Oliver. So yeah, we're going to go straight into the questions. Now, this is a question that I asked myself and many people have asked me. So question number one, how do you even find companies to investigate and analyze in the first place?
When I first started looking for which companies to look at, I did what people are listening probably are doing, is searching Spotify for podcasts or YouTube for videos and finding out how to analyze stocks in the first place. And some of the videos will walk through it step by step with some example companies and things like that. And it's a good way to get some pretty solid, good quality companies like Coca-Cola or Realty Income Corp or anything like that. But then once you get past that and kind of take the training wheels off, you can search through some of the financial websites using some screeners and things like that. So like criteria searches, so you can get rid of some of the crap companies. And then you can start to filter them down from there, basically. And then once you've started doing that for a while, you can also just take a look up from your phone and just see what's out in the world. Just see what a company's up to, see what their financials are like, and you never know, there might be a good company as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very true. I love the last point about just seeing what is actually there in the real world. I mean, if you look around your house, anywhere, literally anywhere, you will see companies. I remember I discovered the company PayPoint because where I was living before, we had a gas and electric meter, and I literally had to go and use PayPoint to top up my gas and electric. Yeah, and it's amazing. Even if you just say, look up, what are the companies in the CACs, or what are the companies in the FTSE 100, and just look through the list, I guarantee you recognize some of those names. And this is before we even talk about, you know, searching up dividend kings and dividend aristocrats. So I love that, you know, just seeing what's in your life and, you know, just kind of listening to content producers out there.
Exactly.
Okay, so question two. So what platforms or sites do you use to research on dividend stocks?
The main ones I use are Yahoo Finance and Seeking Alpha, if it's a US company. I think Yahoo Finance is a good kind of overall website to use. Like, it's got lots of information, like ratios, formulas, financials, news, historic data, everything. But if you're looking at a US-based company, I think Seeking Alpha is slightly more polished, and it's really good. And you can find some good analysis pieces as well on Seeking Alpha.
Yeah,
but only for US companies.
Yeah, I mean, I like Seeking Alpha because you can actually load your portfolio into it. And Yahoo Finance, yeah, you can do the same. Whether it's where I would track my portfolio is a different question. But also, I like Dividend Max and Dividend.com just for me to look at the dividend history and, you know, when they're doing rises and drops. Because I find that Yahoo specifically is good, but it's more a history of declarations. So if I want a quick way of seeing how many years they've had dividends out there, I use Yahoo. But like you said, Seeking Alpha and other sites are a bit more polished. Some of the graphics are a little bit better. So that's good. Good to know that we're using the same stuff.
I haven't got it completely wrong then.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you start with when analyzing a stock? Do you start with price or financials or news or the company profile?
Oh, financials. Always financials. Always financials. I think if a company's financials are poor, Don't even waste your time looking at the news or going down the rabbit hole or anything like that. Like I was saying before about doing like a criteria search or adding screeners into kind of search for companies, you can knock out a lot of companies that have quote unquote poor financials or poor ratios or anything like that. Once you've got like a list of companies, like, you know, anywhere between 10 to 20 or anything like that, then you can start looking a little bit wider about the news or kind of what they've got in the pipeline or anything like that. And then you can just spend a bit more time getting to know the company, how it operates, who actually manages it, you know, things like that. But I'd always start with financials.
Okay, I'm going to push you a little bit. When we say financials, what five or six things are you putting into a stock screener? Are you saying like PE above 2, or are you saying, you know, dividend history above 10 years? What financials are you actually putting into that kind of stock screener?
I would be looking at, I think, a payout ratio that's no more than 60% in most cases. I know that there are some companies or some kind of businesses that kind of go outside of that, mainly REITs, because they've got quite high payout ratio due to how it's structured and the tax advantages that they get from it. But I'd also have a look at whether they're quite a cash rich company. If they've got a lot of cash on the books and low debt, it just means that they can continue to pay the dividend that they currently have, as well as being able to continue to grow their dividend in the future. Just looking at their general sales growth, overall profit growth, and their dividend growth as well. So like you said, about looking a little bit backwards in the dividend history to see how it's kind of grown, seeing if there's any way to kind of look at it a little bit more forward thinking wise.
Yeah, which is key. I'm really glad that you said financials, because I have made the mistake of getting really excited about companies. Maybe I read a news article or it's in a sector that I think is really, really going to be like amazing. And then I find out somewhere that either they don't pay dividends at all or their dividends aren't very safe. And you feel, I don't know, it's like someone really pulling the chair out from under you because you get really excited and like, oh yes, I can't wait to add this position. You start thinking about where you're going to get the money from and saving towards.
And then you realize, I'm putting my house up for sale, you know, and then, yeah. And then it's gone.
Yeah. All right. Great. Next question. What was the last stock you did a full analysis on? And can you give us a quick overview?
Yeah, actually, like I said, because I've unfortunately had to restart my whole portfolio. I've had a relook at Realty Income Corp, an American based REIT. And from what I can see, I mean, it's still a solid company, still a solid business, still growing. I think they've acquired 66 buildings within the last 3 months, gotten rid of 27. So they're growing the amount of properties that they have. They've still got $500 million cash on hand, just in case they want to splash the cash. They've been paying dividends for a long time. I don't think they've ever actually cut a dividend, and they've always increased it since like 1994. So as long as I've been alive, they've always paid dividends and it's always been growing. So I don't see that slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you said that just to make me happy, because anyone who listens to this podcast knows that Realty Income is my favorite stock. When I restarted, I deliberately made it my biggest position. And on top of that, their company motto is actually the monthly dividend paying company. So if
if you ever go onto their website, the first thing, top line, monthly dividend paying company, the monthly dividend paying company.
Yeah, you don't need much more convincing. But if you do, and what me and Oliver have said hasn't given you enough interest and you want to do some more research, I did an episode reviewing Realty Income a couple of weeks ago, and still it's the most listened to episode of this podcast. So everyone out there clearly loves it. And I think, if I remember off the top of my head, I think over 60% of the companies owned by institutions, you know, the big boys, the hedge funds, the asset managers. So everyone loves receiving free money, especially once it's monthly. So I'm glad you said that. And yeah, when you restart your portfolio, it does make you kind of think again and you kind of take everything into perspective. Before we go on to the next question, I want to ask you a side question, right?
Ooh.
Not planned. Now, sorry for this. Yeah. So what lessons have you learned, or what realizations have you learned when you restarted your portfolio? And I'll give you some background. When I restarted my portfolio, I realized that I was basically setting myself back on certain goals at least 2 to 5 years. Now that's kind of hard when you've been successfully dividend investing for about 2 years. And then I also realized that my snowball, you know, I was getting to around £70 a month in dividends, and all of a sudden that went back down to a penny. So I really want to get your perspective on, you know, what you've learned, what things you've realized since you've restarted.
I think the biggest thing that I've realized is that I got hooked a little bit too much with dividends. I always looked forward to getting that notification that a dividend came in. And I think when I had to use my emergency fund and I didn't have that, I didn't sell any of my portfolio or anything. I don't think it was massive either. I think it was around £1,000 or anything like that. It's not massive. But I didn't start to build up my emergency fund back up as quickly as I should have. I was still chasing that financial freedom and to increase my dividend income faster than making sure that I had the financial stability just in case anything were to happen. And it did. I had a child. Not me personally. That's not how nature works. But I needed to use the money that I was putting into my investment account, which really should have been going into an emergency fund, and then using that money elsewhere. So it's made me realize that I really want to be financially stable. So I'm slowly getting into investing again, getting that consistency right and the right kind of level to make sure I don't overextend and then have to pull it all back again. And then just making sure that although dividends are amazing, it's not the thing that I look for in companies, because there are plenty of dividend traps out there with high yields, or they look fantastic, but then there's something going on underneath. And then, like you said, they just pull the chair from under you, they pull the rug from under you, and there's this 12-foot drop, and then, you know, you've lost like 10%, 20%, 50% on your original investment. And that's not what you want, especially if you want that money quickly. and you need it in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nodding profusely to everything that you said. I've learned, I mean, we've learned those lessons the hard way. We could have a whole episode just on the lessons that we learned, and I might have to get you back. So don't be upset if I'm messaging you again saying, listen, we've got to get you back. And I've got so much to add as well to what you said, but just thank you for sharing your personal journey. We'll get straight back into the questions. As a dividend investor, what do you do differently when analyzing a stock compared to like a growth investor or value investor or any other type of investor?
Honestly, I don't think it's that much different to value investing or growth investing or anything like that. As a dividend investor or as a dividend growth investor, you want to invest in good quality companies. I probably sound like a broken record with the amount of times I've said that. But you want the company to continue to grow and continue to be profitable so that they continue to pay you your dividends. And there's this famous video or quote of Warren Buffett about investing. You know, think of investing like you would buying a farm. You know, you buy the farm to be able to reap the rewards of the crops that are there. That's essentially the dividends. You don't go around to people and say, oh, how much would you like to buy my farm for? How much would you like to buy my farm for? You want to live off of the land, live off of the crop, the dividends that you receive, and not worry too much about the price. I think that's the main difference between value investing, really, is because they like to focus on how much it's worth, so they get that capital gain as income, but we want that dividend income instead.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't fall from my trap. That was a very trappy question, because obviously, as a dividend investor, we do get the capital gains and we do get the dividends. So, you know, people like to put themselves in these camps. I'm a growth investor, I'm a value investor. But really, dividend investors, value investors, the main thing that you're looking for is solid companies. If they happen to pay a dividend, even better, right? So yeah, thank you. And I should have known you weren't going to. Yeah, I should have known you weren't going to fall for that. But we tried anyway.
No, well, I like to sound smarter than I really am. So,
okay, I know you just restarted your portfolio, but what is your largest position right now and why?
Realty Income Corp, easily. It's your favorite company. It's my favorite company. It's institutions' favorite company. I love it. I think when I got my Christmas bonus, I put £50 in to try and buy a full share, just to kind of kickstart those dividends coming in from a good quality monthly paying dividend company, and it's going to continue to grow because it's real estate. And you know, not saying that, you know, real estate is going to be the holy grail or anything, but everyone's going to need somewhere to be. Everyone's going to need a leasehold or something. So yeah,
well, ditto on that. There's nothing to add. Yeah. Okay, I get confused with all the different ratios and formulas. So can you still be a dividend investor if you don't use all the ratios and you don't use all the formulas?
I'd say you can to a certain extent. I think there's plenty of analysis that you can do that falls outside of just focusing on payout ratios and other formulas and financials and things. Because if a company is run by somebody that's really not doing a good job, then you can just avoid that company anyway. But I think if you're going to be investing in companies and putting your hard-earned money into it at the end of the day, I think it's going to pay its own dividends, just to understand how to weed out all of the bad companies and really focus in on putting your money where it matters most. So I think some of the key ones would be like payout ratio, price to earnings ratio, looking at the cash ratio, just making sure that they're a solidly run company. It doesn't need to be exciting like Apple. It could be as boring as waste management, you know, that just collect rubbish basically, but it's a solid company. They grow their dividend and they pay dividends. It's a solid dividend growth company. There's plenty to be done.
Yeah, you jumped ahead because I was going to ask you what are the ratios that we should look for, but you already answered some of those. No problem at all. And listen, Boeing stocks are great. I think Waste Management is an amazing company. It's a company I've held before. I don't hold any right now, but it's a company I'm looking to hold again when it gets to the price point. And listen, that company's been paying dividends longer than I've been alive, okay? If they've been doing that just from collecting rubbish, I'm happy to invest in them. Okay, so how often should you go back and reanalyze the stocks in your portfolio or your watch list?
Oh, that's a tougher question, because it all boils down to how much time that people have. But I think there's things that you can do all the time in terms of finding out what's going on with the company. I think, like you said, because you can put your portfolio into Seeking Alpha And I think that same features in Yahoo Finance as well. You can set up notifications so that news stories get pinged to your email. And so you can create like a rule in your email and just highlight the word dividend. So if there's ever any dividend increases or if there's ever a dividend cut at all, then you'll know about it. And then you'll know whether you need to do anything with your money or if there's some fantastic new product line that the company you're invested in, you know, wants to promote or anything like that. I think that's a good way to do things gradually. But to actually answer your question, I think you should really look at it every 3 to 6 months, keep yourself kind of up to date with what the company's doing, who runs it, how they're doing, and some of the investor or financial quarterly reports, things like that.
Yes. The reason I ask this question is because I know a lot of new investors tend to over-focus on earnings announcements. And if you watch anything like Bloomberg or CNBC News, they go all in earnings season. They make you feel like the world is going to shatter if, you know, Apple misses an earnings or something happens out there.
They missed it by 1 cent. The world's going to be swallowed up whole. You know, yeah.
It's really dramatized. And I feel like actually, if you invest in a solid company, you should be able to, and I think, again, it's Warren Buffett that said, you got to buy stocks to see if the markets were going to be closed for 10 years. Mm. So it, as much as I agree with you, it is good to stay on top of the companies that you hold. You don't want to be so on top of them that everything worries you and you want to, you know, reallocate your positions or reallocate your cash. And this is something that I've suffered from. When I first started investing, I was like checking my phone every 20 minutes. Mm. I said 20 minutes because that sounds better. It was probably more frequent than that. Okay, let's move on to the next question. What books and resources are there out there for someone who is just starting out?
I think there's a lot of good content on YouTube. I think that's where a lot of what I learned is actually from. There's a fantastic YouTuber, Joseph Carlson, who's in America, but he's a dividend growth investor as well. So I'm pretty sure you'll love him as well. He shows his portfolio pretty transparently, actually. He goes through why he's picked certain stocks. He goes through stock analysis, talks about certain things that are happening in America. So if you are invested in companies in America, it's a good way just to stay on top of things, you know, a little bit, not to go over the top, because I don't think you'd want to worry yourself with anything too specific. But books-wise, I read The Intelligent Investor. Big thick red book. I kind of underestimated how big it was because I went to Ghana for a wedding back in 2020, Christmas time, and I did not get through that.
I still haven't got through it because no. I end up rereading chapters and rereading pages, and then I was like, wait, they made this point earlier, and going back. Yeah, okay, that's a solid book. It's a hard read, but definitely worth reading.
It is. If you've got the patience, I think it kind of lays good solid groundwork about what you're really looking for in a company and how to get the most out of it, really.
Yeah, and that's The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, who is considered the father of value investing, who also taught Warren Buffett. So we're talking the big boys, okay? This is not a book for, you know, pump and dump investors.
It's not some nobody.
Yeah. Okay. So last question from this section, before we go into the quickfire section, and I have to ask this question, and you may have alluded to it already, but what was the biggest mistake you've made in investing so far, and what did it teach you?
Well, like I said earlier, I didn't rebuild my emergency fund quick enough, or I didn't focus on it as much as I should have, meaning that I had to pull my money out of the market. Because if I had the portfolio now and I wasn't putting anything into it, I would still be up like 20% or still earning dividends of 30, 40 pounds a year, which might not sound like much, but then compound over like a couple of years when I'm able to put money back into it and everything, it'd be worth a lot more. It'd be pulling its own weight. It really would be. So I think financial stability really is 2022 for me. That's what I've learned, is financial stability, making sure it's all in place before I try and push forward.
Which is sound. I always say, and people who listen to the podcast will know that I've said this a lot, that investing is not just how much you pull in, it's just one aspect of your life. So you've got to be stable in other aspects as well. If something is going, you know, if there's challenges in any aspect, not just financial, it will play out in your investing. If you're going through like a breakup, stay away from your trading account, because you make decisions that you may regret later. We're human. It happens all the time. Thank you for being so open and honest on that. And like I said, I have made very, very big mistakes as well. Okay, thank you so much, Oliver. We are going to go on to the quick fire questions. And I've got a lot for you, but I want you to answer them as quickly as possible. And if I push you for why, forgive me. Okay. Quick fire question number one. Dividend payout ratio or dividend cover ratio?
Dividend coverage.
And why is that?
Why? Because, I mean, I've already talked about dividend payout ratio, so I don't really worry too much about that, because I don't pick companies that are kind of close to the edge. I'd quite like companies that can cover their dividends, you know, 1.5, 2, even 3 times, because it just means that they can continue to pay their dividends, grow their dividend, and I can hold that company for a long time, not really worry about it for the next 5-10 years.
Good, amazing. And that way, I guess, with dividend coverage, you can be assured that they're paying their dividends out of cash and not doing something funny or issuing debt to pay dividends. All right, next question. Free cash flow to equity or net debt to EBITDA ratio?
Free cash flow to equity.
Okay. And again, why?
Why?
Yes.
No, you're not allowed to ask me. It's similar to the first reason, really. I just want to make sure that the cash that they're paying the dividend from is coming from the right place.
Okay, good. Okay. Dividend yield or dividend growth?
Dividend growth.
Okay, I already know the answer to that one. We've spoken about it earlier, so I'm not going to push you. Okay, drip all your dividends or hold them and do a bulk reinvestment of dividends?
Oh, drip.
Drip. Oh, drip. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a drip anytime. Easily. Okay. Easily. Okay.
Drips forever, man.
Okay. What's the most underrated dividend stock right now?
Oh, see, that's the thing. I don't actually know right now, because I'm searching for companies at the moment to put into my portfolio, because I've only got 5 at the moment, which is not a huge amount. I'm actually looking at what is overrated and what's underrated at the moment in order to put in there. If you ask me again in a couple of weeks, I'll give you an answer.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you in a couple of weeks then. You heard it here first, guys. Yeah, because the next question was obviously what is the most overrated? And I guess overrated and underrated is relative, because the price is always fluctuating. It depends what you value the company as well. So yeah, that was just kind of to see where your space is at. But you know, you're not falling for my tricks. Okay, next question. Do you own any non-dividend paying stocks?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, that's good. I like to hear that. Okay, we're going for this or that really quick now. BP or Royal Dutch Shell?
BP.
BP, okay. Philip Morris or Altria?
Altria.
Altria, well, yeah, they have a bigger dividend. Okay, Alphabet or Amazon?
Alphabet.
Okay. This one, I'm definitely going to ask you why. So,
okay.
Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson?
Johnson & Johnson.
Okay, why?
Why? Honestly, because I see it more. I prefer the products from Johnson & Johnson more than Procter & Gamble. And it might be weird. Like, how do you know which products are from Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson? But when you have a baby and you're looking at the back and just reading a little bit about all the gumph and like, oh, it's really nice. You know, the sales pitch they have on the back at the bottom is obviously who it's by as well. But you test the products, you know, you buy them, and if you don't like it, you don't buy it again. I haven't had that as much with Johnson & Johnson as I've had with Procter & Gamble.
Okay. Pulling your money where literally your life is, right? Where you buy stuff. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. User experience. Like that.
Yeah. And I guess they're both dividend kings or dividend aristocrats. So you're not really losing either way. And some people own both. Okay. What is your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal is to sip margaritas and sit on the beach and look at my phone and just watch myself earn income sitting there on the deck chair. That's my ultimate goal.
So which beach? We're talking Bali, we're talking Mexico, whereabouts in the world?
Oh, anywhere that has a proper beach. Okay, so basically nowhere in the UK.
Sorry. No pebble beaches. Okay, well, when we get there, we can sip drinks together on the beach and just watch the dividend rolls in. Hopefully, we won't be 65 by that time. All right. Last question. Where can we find you and what are your handles?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Investing in Dividends. And that's about it at the moment. I tried to start a YouTube channel and realized how much work it is to do that. And on top of studying for accountancy and a child and things like that, I just wasn't able to do that. So it's just Instagram at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's at Investing in Dividends. Some of your posts are really great already. The most recent post that I saw, when I said some, all of your posts are really great already.
That's fine. Look for your punches, it's fine. Yeah. I can take it.
The post I saw recently that I actually wanted to ask you about is that you had a post which was kind of like a question, and it was like, how many stocks should you have in a portfolio? And, you know, I studied portfolio theory at length back when I was doing my master's in investment analysis. Now, some people will say you need 12 to be perfectly diversified. Some people will say you need up to 25. Some people say you need to be diversified across sector and, you know, size of the company. So I just wanted to get your insight on that one really quickly.
Well, I think the post initially, the 20 to 30 companies that I mentioned in the post, that's more to do with risk, kind of reducing the risk of putting all your money into one company or one sector, unless you put all of your money into 20 companies within the same sector. But I think when it comes to diversification, 20 to 30 companies isn't necessarily going to end up with a diversified portfolio, because it comes down to more than just what company it is or what sector it is. It's what country it operates in, what kind of investment vehicle it is, because you might diversify from stocks to crypto, to holding gold, to property, rentals, all that kind of thing. So if you want to be truly diversified, I don't think it's necessarily pick 20 to 30 companies. I think it's try and get a bit of everything if you really want to be diversified. But you also don't want to spread yourself too thin. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, really.
Yes. Thank you so much, Oliver. So before we go and before we wrap up, any closing comments from yourself?
Just learn from our mistakes, basically.
You know what, we should do an episode just the mistakes that we've made, because that would easily fill like an hour.
Oh, easily. You probably wouldn't be able to shut me up.
Okay, well, once again, Oliver from Investing in Dividends, thank you so much for being on the Bank on Dividends podcast. We're definitely going to have to get you back again. And, you know, thank you for being amazing and just kind of taking the time to tell us how you analyze stocks and, you know, being so open and being so honest. And remember, guys, no matter what happens in the markets, you can always bank on dividends.